Thank you, Sister Lily. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for gathering us by your Spirit tonight once again. We continue to thank you for your mercy that gives us the grace to worship you and to wait upon you. Thank you that we'll continue to be a delight in your presence, and that our priority will always be to please you and to honor you while we have our breath. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of everyone on this altar tonight. Thank you for the grace that has preserved this altar of prayer 24/7. Thank you for every vessel that has been committed these few years. Father, thank you for all the leaders of the willing women, and thank you for your hand upon your daughter, Sister Billy. Father, we thank you for all your servants, the pastors and ministers of ASLPN and different ministries on this line. Father, thank you for all our various leaders you've made us accountable to. We commit this hour to you and we say thank you. We commit that which is on your heart. Father, we yield that you will speak and you will establish a clear direction and understanding what you have us to do. Thank you, Father, and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We thank God for the faithfulness and the privilege we have to have an altar like this that is open 24/7. That's a miracle. And only God can do such a work. And we thank God for everyone that has been so committed during these times of training and teaching that we've been learning together about how to be effective in the area of prayer and in understanding different things that God has been sharing with us. So tonight, there's a time for everything. We've been learning a lot together. We've been praying. But tonight, I just want to bring some seasonal understanding to you and what we have been talking with our leaders and the leaders of ASLPN. We had a meeting on Tuesday, and I also have been talking with our Sister Billy and the leaders of Willing Women. So we're going to present to you as a body of seasoned soldiers and men and women of God who have been called to be watchmen over the destiny of America. So I just want to share a few things that time will permit to give us some seasonal expectation and seasonal understanding, and then we'll share some strategy that God is putting in our hearts to be able to press into the season in a unified way. So first of all, I want to begin by refreshing our mind. The foundation, I just started last week to prepare our hearts towards the laws that govern both heaven and earth. And it's this law that governs heaven and earth. We talked about it. And is the law of sowing and reaping. It's a principle of the kingdom that it is found in every aspect of natural life, and especially in the area of farming. So we looked at that last week. A farmer does not put a seed in the ground without expectation. And a farmer sows, meaning he plants, he puts, he invests into the soil. He does all sowing and sowing, but he's doing all this with an expectation for harvest. Without expectation, then our effort is in vain. And the Bible says, no, we cannot be weary well-doing, because in due season, we'll harvest, we'll see our harvest, we'll reap if we faint not. And it talks about he that sows to the flesh will reap things of the flesh, corruption. He that sows to the Spirit, in Galatians says, will reap eternal life. So you see that principle all over the Bible, from Genesis. in the law of sowing and reaping, in the area of farming, you see also that from what we were looking at last week, that what you sow today has to go through a process before it can even become a tree. And then the tree has to go through its process, a season, before it can begin to bud and bring forth seeds of fruit. And then the fruit will have to go through a season, a time, before it can become a ripe fruit that is harvestable. That you can say, through all the parables Jesus gave, you can say it's harvest time because it's ripe. So we see that what you sow today, you're not going to reap tomorrow. And because of this law of sowing and reaping, it also brings into manifestation seasons. It governs seasons, or seasons govern the times of sowing and reaping. So everything under the sun, according to Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a season for it. So that's why we have seasons and we have timings. And once we understand these principles, we can be very effective in the time of sowing and also very effective in time of reaping. So we see seed time and harvest time. So that's according to the law of nature. Also, there's a law of nature that also applies to man. And each of these laws brings about the process of multiplication. And it's the law of seed time and also birthing time. When a woman becomes pregnant, the day she becomes pregnant is not the day she gives birth. I mean, it's so natural. And so when she gets pregnant, like we were sharing last week, she goes through the process of carrying the metamorphosis, the growing process of this child in the womb until this child is of age to be birthed. And by nature, there is if you are a woman in Asia or a woman in Middle East or a woman in America, wherever you are, this law governs every pregnant woman. So we have an average borderline worldwide of 9 months or 40 weeks. So you see that when a woman gets pregnant, she doesn't give birth because something is happening in the womb. And whatever is happening, with time, you begin to see signs in the pregnant woman on the outside that the time is getting due. Because first of all, you don't notice anything. But after a few months, you see that the woman's stomach is just bigger than usual. So there are signs that accompany, that begins to give you an idea that things are coming close to a birthing time. And also in the life of seed time and harvest time for trees and fruits, you will see that a green tree, even when you plant anything and it starts producing, even like corn, you will see it initially to be so green and be growing. But there comes a time when you start seeing fruit on it. And the time you start seeing fruit on it and it starts getting ripe, you know that it is close for harvest. So there are signs, and Jesus illustrated all this in all these various parables that he gave to point us to spiritual seasons and to spiritual times. So in the spirit, if you to understand the spirit, you have to understand the physical. So in the spirit, from these two illustrations of seed time and harvest time, you can see that heaven can be pregnant with the move of God. Heaven can plant something and expect harvest. For example, Jesus was, the Bible says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. He was planted into the earth. And eventually it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That seed that was planted in Mary, after a while, became the manifested Messiah, and he fulfilled his purpose and he accomplished the time of his harvest. Before Jesus left, he talks about the harvest season. He says, now this seed is going to go into the ground and die, and then it's going to produce fruit. And that was talking about his crucifixion. So when this seed, which was now flesh, Jesus died, now sons and daughters were now born into the kingdom, beginning with him as the first fruits, first of the first fruits, and then the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And then today, we became part of that multiplication process. So heaven can be pregnant, and heaven describes the process of pregnancy as vision. You know, as you plant a seed, that's how God says a vision can be given to a man or a woman, and then that vision has a time of a waiting process, just like a tree or a woman that's pregnant. And then after the waiting process, then that vision will begin to speak at the appointed time. That word appointed time in Habakkuk chapter 2 means in the kairos moment, in the time that has been set by it. At the fullness of time, God sent for the Son. So I'm using this foundational understanding just to let us know that we cannot bypass the law that governs both earth and heaven, which is the law of sowing and reaping. So that should encourage every intercessor, every prophetic man or woman that has been called or mandated by God for an assignment. And so that's why you see Moses had a calling, he had a time of harvest. Joseph had a vision, he had a time of harvest. Abraham had a calling, and he had a time of seed time, he had a time of waiting for it to come. David, the same thing. You will see these people, they received the vision, or the seed was planted in their heart as a vision, and then they went through a process, something was happening, then they manifested it. Amen. So we see that heaven has a seed time and heaven has a harvest time. Now, in rounding up that area, we see again Jesus talking about not only heaven has a seed time and a harvest time, but that in the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus was also able to reveal that as long as we live in this fallen world, that when a farmer planted a good seed, and he was talking about, you know, he planted a good seed, he said also there was another seed that was planted. So that's another vision. And he says, later the servant started saying, when the vision started growing, the seed started growing, he saw the tares, and he said, what is this? And he says, an enemy has done this. And he says, should we uproot it? He said, no, wait until the harvest time. So it's clear here that there is a reward for that which is sown. That which is sown of the flesh, when it is ripe, it means it's corruption. There's a reward for corruption. And then that which is sown by the Spirit, it reaps eternal life. There's a time of reward for it. So in the parable of the wheat and tares, we see that both were growing together, but the Lord said they have to wait for the harvest time. Meaning, Satan has a plan that wants to counter the plan of God, and both of them, God says, there's a period of long suffering so that at the timing of the Lord, none will perish, but all will come to salvation. So in this principle, the key is, how do we know the time of harvest? How do we prepare for the season of harvest? The same way when you start watching a fruit ripe, you know it's close to harvest. The same way if you watch a pregnant woman stomach growing after about getting to that 9 months, something begins to happen, what we call it contractions, in different levels of pitches and pain and dilations of the woman's cervix that eventually heads up to the time of labor. So those are the peak season of knowing it is time to bring forth, is harvest time or birthing time. So in the things of the Spirit, a lot of times, because God is still training our spiritual understanding to understand seasons, sometimes we don't discern harvest time properly, because it is sometimes very hard to see the spiritual fruit. in the midst of the demonic fruit, the fruit of the devil. But harvest time in the things of the Spirit, all through generation, always reveals the time when evil has risen to a climax where evil is almost beginning to blanket or intimidate or cover the ways of the righteous. Like you see in the days of Egypt and Moses, you know, Pharaoh has made things so hard for them. And when Moses came to fulfill the prophecy God gave to them about bringing them out of Egypt, that was the harvest season. But you see that the evil was so much. And then you can also look at the life of the days of Jesus. You can see how he's lived all these years. But that was the only time he was being beaten. He went through so much. Truth was being judged. He was denied. And you see that something was happening prophetically. If you look at the days of Esther, you will see an example again where the Jews were put in a position of absolute annihilation. But it was also a harvest season. So I just wanted to point a few of that in the area of the law of sowing and reaping. But as we go further, I want to share this other aspect of the connection of seasons to the times of harvest. As God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, he gave Moses on the mountain so many principles, so many guidelines for them to be able to start understanding natural things that will eventually bring them into the realization of their spiritual relationship with God. So God tied the whole destiny of Israel into harvest season. And this harvest season was eventually called, in the book of Leviticus 23, the appointed times of the Lord. And it's referred to in the Bible as the feast of the Lord. And there are seven of them in number. The first three feasts, you will find them in the first 3 months. And then the last four feasts are found. The first four feasts are in the first 3 months. And the last feast are found, the last three feasts are found in the seventh month. So in the cycle of harvest, in the Hebraic spiritual prophetic word God gives to them, the number seven becomes the cycle of, number seven is the cycle of a completion, and then eight begins a new beginning. So even though we have 12 months, the law that governs them is the law of sowing and reaping. The seasons of early harvest and latter harvest. And the early harvest covers the first 3 months, and then the latter harvest covers from the seventh month. And after that, the cycle continues. And that's why the seventh day is called the completion or the finish. And that's why everything about the Jewish calendar, Hebraic spiritual calendar, begins in the first month and ends in the seventh month, and the cycle continues because of harvest time and seed time and harvest time. And God connected the whole thing to a prophetic season. So you see that they came out of Egypt in the first month, and then they experienced the feast of Pentecost on the third month, and then later God gave Moses the blueprint for tabernacle. And then later we see how that also paralleled Jesus, the spiritual fulfillment of that. In the first month, Hebraic first month, he died, he rose again, and then the first of the first fruit, and then Pentecost, the church received, you know, his own harvest. You see the spiritual part of it. So God ties prophetic destiny of the Jews and of the church and the nations to the time of sowing and reaping and the seasons that govern them, both in the physical and in the spiritual. So, understanding these principles will help us to engage heaven in a time of expectation, or to engage heaven in a time of sowing. Again, Psalms 127 says, He that goes about carrying precious seeds will likewise come back again with rejoicing, with his basket full of harvest. So let's be encouraged that your labor is not in vain. The time you've been praying and praying and praying and praying is not in vain. Because some of your prayers might be seed time, some of them might be harvest time. But today I just want to share an expectation of all our prayers leading towards a time of harvest, a time of harvest. I use the harvest, the seed time and harvest time and prophetic season as one part of what we're about to present to you. The second part of prayer, a time of sowing and reaping or pressing into a season. The second part is, for example, the days of Esther. In the days of Esther in the Bible, the Jews were in Persia, and there came a time when a man by the name of Haman was really programmed by the devil to become the devil's. He was the tares, he was the government. He was ruling on behalf of Satan. He was able to put things in place. And we all read it the other time, Esther chapter 2, you see how he conspired and through casting of lot, you know, or sorcery, or witchcraft for a whole year, every day, he was able to program the spiritual atmosphere of that time and found a date that would favor the total annihilation of the Jews. And what led to that was a law. And the law that was made set up the Jews for in the next 12 months to be totally wiped out and killed. So what happened in that season was the spiritual atmosphere has been darkened. The spiritual atmosphere has been darkened. You know, means something has been opened from the pits of hell. And the atmosphere and the spirit is being darkened. Because in that darkness, the king was blinded by spiritual darkness. And because of the spiritual blindness, the king was putting his finger on everything that was demonically assigned for the destruction of the Jews without even a question. So now we see what happened in that season. That the gatekeeper, Mordecai, Esther was also planted, you know, in the kingdom at that time. So God awakened this man and he started awakening the destiny of Esther. So he called Esther, and Esther now being awakened and understanding her calling for such a time as that, in a very dark time, in a very challenging time for the destiny of the Jews. It was very obvious. So Esther was awakened by this man. And as soon as Esther was awakened, God gave Esther a strategy. And the strategy that she was inspired was, she said, you know what? You call a national fast. You go and make sure every Jew, everywhere you can find them, get all of them to go into a time of 3 days fasting. Nobody should drink or even eat for 3 days. That was a strategy. It was inspired. She received that. She gave it, said, myself and my maidens, we too will fast, which is contrary to a princess or a queen's place of domain. So they called for a fast, a 3 days fast without praying and crying to God. In other words, there was a unified, intentional, focused prayer over heaven for something to happen over the climate, the dire climate that was prevailing at that time. There was a desperate cry. It was unified, it was intentional, and it was focused. And so at the end of that time of fasting, then they started taking action. That's when Esther says, I will take the steps. I will step out now by faith because I know. So we read the book of Esther and we see when she stepped out by faith, the spiritual atmosphere changed. And so when she walked out now, they've already cleared darkness. An invisible darkness has been cleared. Now light is over the nation. And the king was able to see, and favor came upon Esther. His eyes were open. And now the king that was against the Jews with his signature turns around and was against the enemy with his own signature. And then the church Esther prevailed. But we know that without the strategy, nothing would have happened. Even Esther the queen, no matter your connection to the throne, it will not stop what Satan has already programmed in the spirit. So the only thing that changes things are those who recognize the season, they are awakened by it, and they confront it in a spiritual manner. And so that's what happened. So having these two principles in mind, when you obviously sense a clear, undeniable darkness that is intended totally for the destruction of the church, even through legal processes, somebody has to wake up. And somebody cannot go in the flesh. It has to be a spiritual assignment. So we see that happening in the days of Esther. But at the same time, we also see a principle that governs heaven and earth, the law of sowing and reaping. And if you're able to understand the season of harvest in the things of the natural, and you can understand that in the things of the spirit. And so when you understand a spiritual time of harvest, also in alignment with a time of awakening in a nation, then you have two major prophetic signs for you to really have an expectation to press into a season for God to make a difference in a nation. So I could go more into other factors that will help provoke us to go into this season of strategic prayer, but let's just use these two factors that I just mentioned, the time of harvest and the time of a visible spiritual darkness over a nation. Now, spiritually, number one, America, the law of sowing and reaping, God has planted this nation as a wheat nation to bring forth and be a basket of blessing to the nations of the earth. And we can see that. And also, from the parable of the wheat and tares, we see that we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Something has already planted in the nation, the tares. So let's say from everything I've shared so far, these things have been growing at their various levels. But obviously, we can see that we are getting to that point where there's a clear and a visible demarcation happening, where we can truly see a blanket of darkness about to take over the nation completely. So we see that aspect of the destiny of the nation almost being suffocated through the pressure of darkness. So now, but to understand where America is in the context of seed time and harvest time, let's see America like a woman. Most nations are personified as a woman. Babylon was personified as a woman. Egypt was personified as Isis. You know, Babylon was Ishtar or Ishtoreth. You know, the feminine names for the goddess of those lands. And most nations are personified as a she, or even Israel many times is personified. And even the church today, we say we are the bride of Christ. You know, things like that. So let's say America is personified as a woman, and the name of that woman is Colombia, for example, from the history of America, Washington, D.C. So if we personify America as a woman a seed has been sown, remember when we use the 9 months, that's just the metaphor for the natural part. So let's say the spiritual destiny of America. America has been pregnant. So, and there are two women. One is the bride of Christ in the nation. The other one is the bride of Satan. So now, how do we know we are close to see them bring forth their children, or bring forth what they've been carrying for so long in the time of harvest and reaping? Every tree is known by its fruit. An apple can never produce orange. The Bible, Jesus says, you know a fruit by the tree. So you know the seed. Jesus said, the seed, the tares, by the fruit. And Jesus says, the tares are the children of the wicked, the wheat is the children of the righteous. So you know a tree by its fruit. So we are now at this time in America's history, and we're living in this generation, and we can see the manifestation of the fruit of darkness, almost taking over the nation. But we cannot deny that America has a seed of righteousness, because that's what it was planted. That's why America was used the way it was used. So obviously we have two people here. The bride of Christ growing in this place, and Satan also has his bride. He's called the Queen of Heaven. So now, let's say these two are operating. How do we know in the spirit how God deals or gives a sign in the physical when harvest is near? The sign of a woman physically, when they are pregnant, they want to give birth, is butt pains. So if you look at America right now, in the physical, not in the spirit now, but if you look at America in the physical, you see that the very land of this nation, in one specific location where images have been established that replicate demonic goddesses and stuff like that, which I won't go into. In the very city, you will see from the year 2001, a process started happening in this nation that has never happened in this fashion before. And after the Second World War, now we see a super nation being confronted by what you might call a people who are not a people, shaking, not even a powerful people, shaking a super nation to the core with 9/11 and the economy. And then we see a sequence of botting or pains that goes through. And then in 2008, something has happened again. The economy was shaken in a way that it shook the rest of the world. And then we see that sequence of butt pain. And that sequence still continues. And we are in that season of butt pain. So that's a sign in the physical that God is about to harvest the nation. He's about to reward the wicked, and he's about to reward the righteous. And both of them are about to be harvested. In Egypt, when God did that to Egypt, when he brought them to their time of harvest, he rewarded the wicked with pestilence. He rewarded them with shakings. He rewarded them with, you know, with an awakening. And then for the children of Israel, there was such a spiritual protection over them in Goshen that instead he rewarded them with what they've lost for years. They were given money. They were healed. They were prosperous. The glory of God started manifesting by day and by night, and they started walking towards their destination for the promised land to fulfill their calling. So they say, sit down and I harvest. And that's why God says, everybody will reap what they have sown at the time of judgment. So now, that's just one sign. Then, I'll just give you an idea that we might just be in a time to expect something, God to harvest the souls of this nation, and for righteousness to reign again. The second part I shared is like Esther. If you don't follow the butt pains taking place in the nation, say, maybe this nation is due for spiritual harvest. The glory of God is about to be revealed. The church is about to come forth, and God is about to expose that which has been hidden, wicked. If you don't want to respond to that, then let's respond to the one that is obvious, like in the days of Esther. In the days of Esther, one of the manifestations of the power of darkness, invisible darkness, was that a law was established literally for the destruction of the Jews. That was so obvious. And so if you parallel that, if you can't see darkness in the things of the Spirit, but now we see a law established that right now is moving towards literally a total silencing and operating of anything righteous in the nation. So we can see that for sure. So let's go back to the first one. The first one, how do you position yourself for harvest? In the time of harvest for the crop part, for the seed part, a farmer has to use a harvester. You know, Jesus said, I will send the reapers and they will reap. Harvest, you have to shake the tree or knock. There's a way you go through the sifting and the harvesting of crops. In the physical, a farmer does that through a plowing process. But also, in the things of pregnancy, like we talked about birth pain, you see that a woman giving birth or harvesting a baby comes to what you call birth pains or labor pains. Labor pains. In the spirit, labor pains are not... I want to read this to you at this point in Isaiah chapter 66. It said, God was talking about Israel's future. And he said in Isaiah 66:7, he says, before she travailed, she went into labor, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who had seen such thing? Who had heard such a thing? Or who had seen such thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. He's using a physical metaphor to explain a spiritual principle. So in verse 9 he says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, says the Lord? Let me give you two examples of this principle in the physical and in the spiritual. The first example of a birthing process of a woman who bought something in the spirit and later manifested in the natural is Hannah. Hannah has been barren. Her womb has been shut. When she got to the point, she became desperate and she refused to, she's been provoked by the enemy and she, Peninnah, she refused to be quiet at this time. What did she do? She pressed into a place of prayer she's never been before. She refused to eat. She entered into a deep fast in a time when others are feasting. And in that time when people are feasting, he entered into a time of prayer. Because feast time are harvest time. They are windows where God gives certain things. So the feasts are called harvest seasons. So when they were eating and drinking and celebrating the feast, Hannah went into a time of prayer because she understood that the feast time was a window of time that God honors certain things, especially in the spirit. If they were celebrating a physical harvest, she connected the physical harvest to a spiritual window. She pressed into it like the apostles at the upper room at the feast time. Others are eating, they were praying and fasting. She pressed in, and that's when she broke a barrenness that had caused reproach and shame for a long time. It was in that feast she broke that barrenness through the time of fasting. And Hannah gave birth to a prophet called Samuel. So the same thing you see Elijah. There was a famine in the land, and God spoke to Elijah, says, now I will bring rain, a physical rain. How did a physical rain manifest? Elijah at one point went to the mountain and position himself in an unceasing, intentional, focused prayer for rain. He was just praying for rain, but he would not let go that position until the heavens broke. And Elijah was able to birth first in the spirit before rain came in the physical. Just like Hannah. Hannah broke her barrenness in the spirit in a feast season before she was able to see pregnancy in the physical. Now, in the spirit, exactly in the time of harvest, Jesus told the disciples to go set themselves apart during the window of harvest season. It was called the Pentecost or the first fruit harvest. They went to pray and they connected a physical season to a spiritual window. And as they pressed in that season, heaven opened, and that was the birth of the church. And the first fruits that were born into the kingdom, and 3,000 that day, and then it just continued. Because there was a connection between a physical season that has been prophetically spoken by God as appointed times, and they pressed in those seasons, and they started harvesting things. So that's the connection and the connotation. Again, if you look at the book of Joel, in Joel chapter 2, the children of Israel have entered into a state of both physical famine and spiritual famine. They were already so wasted by the wicked and in the physical, And they were also in bondage. They were lacking everything to serve God. At this point, Joah, understanding the principles of the feast and the seasons of the Lord in the area of repentance and prayer, Joel called for a solemn assembly. He called for a solemn assembly. If you look at, if you study the word feast and appointed time, the word appointed time is also called seasons. If you look seasons, Moab is called appointed seasons or solemn assembly, gathering. He called for a solemn assembly and called the people to a time of prayer and consecration and fasting and intentionally asking God for justice and to vindicate them from the crushing of the wicked. And it was that time they received the breakthrough. So God gave them physical rain so that they can produce physical harvest. But the same physical rain that they brought forth, also God says he gave them spiritual rain and spiritual harvest, which is called the early and the latter rain. So you can see that physical seasons, prophetic physical seasons, can both physical blessings, but also brings with it spiritual blessings. You know, like you see with Hannah, like you see with Elijah, and like you see now with Joel in the book of Joel chapter 2. These are seed prayers, consecrated moments in seasons of time. And these prayers, they bring different things. They bring an awakening. They bring an awakening to the people of God. And they also break the darkness over the nation at that season. And they open a window that not only brings repentance, but it opens a window for the people to receive their rain and their fruit in the due season. So I shared all this just to let you know that many times there are things we sow, we can reap it. I mean, if you there are blessings we can get daily, monthly, whatever. But in terms of prophetic things, God is making it clear that it's seed time and harvest time. Things just what you've been praying last year or a few years ago has a season of manifestation and a different season. So, but corporately, God says for us to spiritually watch over the prophetic seasons of the Lord, that they are windows of spiritual breakthroughs. So, using the first law of sowing and reaping and the birth pains that comes through the life of a pregnant woman and where America is now physically, America is going down the drain. You know, America is going over $17 trillion. That's debt. And some other things that are happening. And then this whole sequence of a shaking happening. So that's one part. Now, the Esther part, the darkness. But the good thing is this. Wherever you see darkness, you know that God is about to arise and shine. Wherever you see harvest, it's not only God harvesting the wicked, you know that the wheat is right there by the corner. So, we are about to enter a prophetic season in America, in the whole world. And this season is coming up in this September. The seventh month of the seasons of the Lord is always what they call the seven is the number of the completion or finish. It's a cycle. And we have since, we've been hearing so many signs from different people. These are proven signs scientifically and all with blood moons and stuff, which we're not talking about now. I'm just following scriptures to bring understanding to why we need to press into a window of opportunity. So we have this feast season coming. It will begin on the 14th, and maybe the night of the 14th, the night of the 13th. But it will begin on the 14th. It's called Rosh Hashanah, the present-day Hebrew word. But in the Hebraic prophetic language, it's called the Feast of Trumpets, the beginning of the seventh month. In the natural Hebrew, today's Hebrew, they call it the beginning of their year. But in the Hebraic prophetic Hebrew, it's called the beginning of the seventh month. So this is the seventh month. It's going to begin on the 14th. And then on the 10th of that seventh month is called Yom Kippur, or the Bible calls it the Day of Atonement. The day the high priest normally goes in once a year in the Old Testament. But now we have a high priest that has opened the door every second, every day. Now, it's the Day of Atonement. And then on the 15th day of the seventh month, is the Feast of Tabernacles. It begins for 7 days. And the last day is the eighth day. They call it the great day of the feast. So these are the feast of the seventh month. And feast, like I've just shared, elaborately carries prophetic undertone, and they carry spiritual significance in the law of sowing and reaping. I discovered this by the mercies of the Lord in 2006. Even though we've been praying and doing several things, sometimes I'll see things happen in our city or things happen, but I never could tie anything to it. But as I started understanding seasons, ever since 2006, I've been able to watch like a farmer. I've watched the times we pray, we don't see things, and I've watched the times all of a sudden doors open from everywhere, or things begin to happen, and one thing leads to the other. And I watched it to almost now, and I see that the prayers we pray, they have a multiplication of fruit-bearing process and preparing us for destinies and for what God wants to do. So in a corporate way, I have seen God visit us at different times in feast season, and I've seen God do personal things as a way of testimony. So in a corporate way, there is a convergence of prophetic signs all over the world talking about these seasons that we're entering. But for us, as ASLAP and Willing Women, and for this prayer line, I don't want to overstress this or over-elaborate, but simply all I'm saying is, let's be like Hannah. Let's pray into a feast season for prophetic, for spiritual breakthrough. Let's be like Elijah. Let's believe God to birth something fresh into the atmosphere. The spiritual famine of our land is too much. Let's believe God for a rain. It looks like nothing has happened for so long, and darkness is eating up the nation. Let's believe God to revive, to water the atmosphere of this nation with a fresh fire and a fresh rain in the nation. We can do it with a unified voice and a sacrifice that God can accept through fasting. Or let's be like Esther. We see the darkness over the nation. Somebody has to be awakened and take responsibility, or else the church is going to be extinct in this nation. So we are willing, and plus so many, not only us. Like God told Elijah, there are 7,000 people. But we don't know, but we just want to make sure we don't miss the moment that God has called us to this nation. So we are calling you, ASLAP and Willing Women. We're encouraging everyone on this line to please be awakened by the urgency of this darkness, or at least carry the expectation that all the prayers you've been praying, position yourself that this feast will release a window of breakthrough, a window of breaking any form of barrenness in your life, and open a window of fruitfulness even in that level for this season. So those are the things that we want to present to you, and here's the strategy for that. The strategy is we want to call a 24/7 prayer beginning from the 14th of September of this month. And the 24/7 prayer will be for 21 days, 3/7. So it will start on the 14th. We'll start fasting on the 14th of this month and prayer. And then we'll finish the fast on the 21 day, which is the 4th of October. Thus, we'll fast through the atonement, fast and pray through to the tabernacles, and then to the that will be to the 4th of October. On the 5th of October, if you remember, Jesus made a statement in John chapter 7. It says, at the great day of the feast, the eighth day, you know, that's when Jesus cried out, if any man taste, let him come to me and drink. That eighth day is called the great day of the feast. It symbolizes when libations and prophetic words are declared by the priest for them to have a rain in their season. So that day is the 5th of October. We are going to have a 24/7 worship on the line to close the 21 days of prayer and fasting. So this is the strategy. The fasting will be from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. You can drink juice, drink whatever, or just fast as you're led, but we close the fasting at 6 p.m. 6 to 6. And then to close the fast at 6 p.m., we're going to have prayer leaders. The Willing Women will, Sister Billy will say more on that in a few minutes. The Willing Women, the door window will be given, where all of us, we're going to send this out, flyers to all our partners. We met with our leaders. They're going to send it to their denomination. As much as we can spread it, We're going to call as many as possible, this time not physically at the mall, but online because of technology. Call the nation to a 21 days of prayer and fasting that will be hosted by the Willing Women line. And then 6 to 7, we're going to have different pastors and different leaders lead prayer. Everybody will be invited to that 6 to 7. And we'll just unify our voice, crying for two things. Awakening in the nation that is breaking the cloud of darkness, and wake up a sleeping church and a sleeping nation. And then two, pray for God again to visit this nation with a heart-breaking conviction, salvation, and a glorious restoration of the move of God in this nation. If we pray with expectation, fast with expectation, in a season of expectation, I believe that God, like Joel said, might have mercy on us and do something that will answer directly the question the world is asking us right now. The nation is asking us right now, where is your God? And I believe, like Joel said, God will hear our cry, have mercy on us, and say, here I am. And the way God will respond, everybody will know our God has heard our cry. If you believe this and you're willing, I believe like Hannah pressing in, I believe like Elijah, I believe like all the praying men of God, we've come to a crossroad and we have to express our desperation to this altar of 24/7, 6 to 6 fasting, and with this unified prayer and the prayer points that will be shared with you, I believe that we'll see something change. And we see some physical things happen to our families, to us individually, to us corporately, to our ministries, and to the nation. So if you believe this, let's do it together, and we'll begin it. So I will let Sister Billy share on, and we'll answer more questions next week. But we're just going to begin, and we'll send out flyers, send out information, so you can pass this on as much as you can to as many intercessors as you know to come on this 24/7 line. Especially 6 to 7, and let's see how God will respond to our obedience. Thank you.